and welcome to the IAA Mobility Visionary Club. This is the show where we are talking to the movers and shakers in the mobility industry about the latest trends and what's driving us. Today, we have a special guest, Philip Vandenberg. He's the Vice President Automotive EMEA at NVIDIA. Quick bit of background before I hand over to Philip. He has been at NVIDIA since 2015, leading the company's embedded business at EMEA. And over the past 8 years, he's been instrumental in expanding NVIDIA's footprint in the automotive sector. I'm looking forward to learning more about how you are harnessing AI and advanced computing. Phil, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Sarah. And thanks for having me. I think it's evident to everyone, the automotive industry in Europe is not in an easy spot. And I thought, should I talk a bit about what the different factors are influencing the situation we're in? But actually, I think under the motto of never let a good crisis go to waste, the situation we're in is actually also an opportunity to, or even a necessity to transform and to innovate. I think there's a large amount of companies around the world, in Europe, in the US, that exist around the automotive industry, and that are keen to contribute to the transformation that's going on at the moment. NVIDIA, for that reason, is investing heavily in platforms to help this transition. We believe that by leveraging platforms, not only NVIDIA's platforms, but other platforms that are in the market today, automakers can benefit from these significant investments that are being made while accelerating their own innovation capabilities. That's kind of the mindset of my talk. And I wanted to touch specifically on one aspect that is very prevalent in the automotive industry, as it's one of the largest manufacturing industries in the world. And I wanted to touch on the ability to combine the real world with the digital world, and what that enables for partners and for the industry. At the highest level, the concept is obviously that, and I'm not sure who said this in the past, is that atoms, they move slower than electrons. And so by moving work to the digital world, processes will speed up, become more efficient, and ultimately lead also to lower costs, something which the industry as a whole tends to focus on quite a lot. How do you optimize costs? How do you become more competitive? The key word here is physical AI. So industrial physical AI-based systems, from humanoids to robotics to factories, are being accelerated across training, simulation, and inference. Let me talk a bit about that for a second so you understand what I mean when I say that.
Yeah, please.
That basically, the way we look at this is we call it a three-computer solution. And those three computers you should see as platforms, okay? First, AI models that you deploy in this digital world require a supercomputing and software platform to be trained on. We call this DGX computing and NVIDIA AI Enterprise software platforms. Second, you need a place to simulate all of this digital world, whether it's a factory, whether it's a robot in the factory, whether it's a car driving on the road. You need a development and simulation platform, and we call this Omniverse, something people might have heard about before. We're working closely with BMW, who's very vocal about our partnership, and also Mercedes-Benz. And Omniverse runs on something we call OVX servers. Yeah, so that's what you said in the beginning about accelerated computing and computing in general. And this world is there, or this platform is there for testing and optimizing physical AI with application programming interfaces and frameworks, such as Isaac Sim, which is a world to simulate and train robots. So within Omniverse, there are different kind of applications that you can use to create this digital world. And lastly, these trained AI models are deployed in a runtime computer, whether that computer is in a car, or in a robot, or in a humanoid robot, which is something that the industry is talking a lot about as well, humanoid robotics. We can touch on that later. The point is that moving all of this work that you're doing in creating factories, making software, doing this in a digital world will really help you move faster. So robotic facilities result from a culmination of all of these three technologies I just mentioned. It's not a piecemeal approach. You really need to look at this from an end-to-end perspective, create that digital world. Digital twins are not something that, it's not a new concept. It's been around for quite a while, but doing it physically accurate in real time is where the challenge comes from. So autonomous facilities, production facilities will all have digital twins that are used for layout, planning, and optimization, operation simulation, and most importantly, robot fleet software in the loop testing. So built on Omniverse, NVIDIA has also created something called a blueprint for factory digital twins, which enable these industrial operations to test and optimize the robot fleets and simulation before actually deploying them in physical factories. And that's where you're gonna see the speed up and the acceleration of innovation that previously wasn't possible because people were creating digital twins in platforms that were not able to connect all of the different agents or actors that operate within these environments. And this blueprint is, we call it Mega, and basically it's a digital playground for the deployment of physical AI. So physical AI is a topic. I said it a couple of times and I wanted to highlight it again. Physical AI is something we believe is going to be elementary and foundational to the manufacturing industry moving forward. And leveraging platforms that are built in the industries in the world, also by NVIDIA, is going to be key to, we believe, transforming the industry, the auto industry here in Europe. So much for the accelerating the production process. I also wanted to touch on Omniverse, right? Omniverse we regard as a operating system for the manufacturing industry. The amount of data that automakers have and the amount of different formats is really an obstacle. You think about design of a vehicle, you think about the product engineering of the vehicle, the actual production of the vehicle, then the marketing sales of the vehicle. All these departments have different file formats. There's in the handoff between them, there's a loss of data. So it's an extremely tedious process. And the reason we came up with Omniverse is to really enable a single source of truth for all of the data that is that lives within these companies. And how do we do that is basically by not replacing any single application that exists, but creating connectors that will translate the data into something we call USD, which is an open source file format from Pixar. And the USD consortium is growing heavily. And so the actual investment into Omniverse, on the one hand, is to use the simulation capabilities I mentioned before for manufacturing. On the other hand, it's to create this single source of truth for all the data. You can imagine when all of the people within an automaker that work on data are able to access data in real time and change it in real time, that creates just a tremendous amount of efficiencies. So that's kind of the Omniverse platform. And the thing I wanted to touch on last is our Drive platform, because a lot of the elements we spoke about earlier also come back in our Drive platform. Now, the industry has been working on developing self-driving cars or ADAS for I think quite a while. And there's been a lot of learnings in how to do this. But I think it's clear to everyone in the meantime that it's not only a matter of what chip you have in the car, or what function you deliver when the car SOPs. It's a matter of having a platform that allows this continuous development of features and functionalities that you can ship out to the vehicle after it's actually been sold. Our Drive platform exactly is what I just spoke about. It really intends to leverage all of the different capabilities that we have been building so that we can enable auto companies to accelerate the development of their own ADAS AV fleets in the field. And that is what NVIDIA Drive is. Well known in Europe are our partnerships with Mercedes-Benz and Jaguar Land Rover and Volvo. So in short, I think what I wanted to elaborate on in this short intro is that, yes, for sure, the industry is running into some obstacles. But to overcome those obstacles, I think there's enough opportunity around to engage on leveraging platforms that are being built by companies like NVIDIA, where there's a large investment. And instead of starting, or trying to do it yourself, the best strategy you could follow is leverage what's there, because the investment we're doing continues, and our platforms are continuously building out, and so join that bandwagon. The last thing I wanted to mention is that the technology we built also enabled us at one point in time to think about creating a digital twin of the entire world. And we've done that now, and the project is called Earth-2. And the whole idea behind Earth-2 is basically to enable the simulation and visualization of weather and climate predictions at a global scale, with unprecedented accuracy and speed. This is something that wasn't really, well, it didn't really exist before. And Omniverse as a platform allows us or enables us to do this. And so it's that piece of technology that lets us take a leap forward when it comes to analyzing climate change and what it is that what actually happens, how it happens at a much more detailed level than we could before. So Earth-2, look it up. There's a lot of chatter on the internet about it. And we'll be talking more about it in the future. So that's my introduction, Sarah.
Awesome, Philip. Thank you. You brought up so many things. I kept making notes, like, this is what I want to talk about. I want to start with something that you said. This Omniverse is clearly a really powerful platform. It's a really powerful tool. And yet you acknowledge Europe is at a difficult moment. Why is Europe at such a difficult moment? What are the biggest challenges that Europe is facing in unlocking the full potential of these AI capabilities and advancing technology commercialization? Walk us through that for a little bit. And maybe what resources or partnerships NVIDIA thinks are essential to overcome the barriers?
Yeah, Sarah. So I think, the challenges that the European auto industry is facing today is not something that I really want to elaborate, because you can read it. It's in the press all the time.
Let's
The
focus on the
Chinese.
solutions then. What partnerships, what resources does NVIDIA think are essential to overcoming these sorts of barriers? It's fair if you don't want to talk about the problems, but let's talk about the
Sure.
solutions.
Sure. I mean, I think, again, I think that going back to, atoms move slower than electrons. The technology that allows true digital twins of everything in the world has arrived. And that understanding in itself should lead to a tremendous speed up of every process that exists in the automotive industry, if well adopted, right? And so it's a matter of the capabilities around AI and generative AI. It's a matter of the physically accurate rendering that is possible through the GPU technology that we've built. It's a matter of understanding workflows end to end. And I think over the last years, technology has developed so rapidly that there is now a time to really double down on adapting it within your processes in the company. And so ultimately, that should result in faster time to market, speed up of innovation across the board. So whether it's implementing, being ready to implement humanoid robotics, right? The other thing, Sarah, I didn't want to talk about the negativity in the auto industry, but I think humanoid robotics is a tremendous opportunity, where we all know in Europe there is a predicted labor shortage for manufacturing. Humanoid robotics is going to be a tremendous opportunity, because humanoid robotics can operate in similar environments that people can. And so over time, if you've invested in creating a physically accurate digital twin of the factory you're building in, you're manufacturing in, the ability to introduce humanoid robotics will be a very logical next step, right? So yeah, go ahead.
I can see how that's got tremendous potential. I'm just wondering, for someone like me, I don't work at NVIDIA, I'm not on the factory floor. Like, how far off is that? Is it close?
What exactly? Humanoid
The
robotics?
humanoid robotics, like when will we have? I'm imagining human-shaped robots doing things that a human no longer has to do.
I don't think there's a one shot like it's gonna be there in 2 years or in 4 years or in 6 years. I think it's gonna be a you have to build the right architecture to be able to facilitate these kind of technologies. So what you see right now is you see a tremendous investment in humanoid robotics, multiple companies all over the world popping up, building these kind of cap actually building the robots. We at NVIDIA are focusing on building the let's say the testing environment, the simulation environment where these robots can go and learn, just like and we're also heavily building on the work on creating the end-to-end platform that enables the development of this AI technology for these robots. We're not manufacturing these robots ourselves. That's not up to NVIDIA. But I think the three computer solution I spoke about earlier is really there to set companies up for success the moment these humanoid robotics are ready to start working.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks for clarifying that, Philip. I think I got a little too excited. I heard human robots and was like, sign me up.
Yeah, that is cool.
We've talked now a little bit about the physical AI. What about generative AI? Where do you expect to see the biggest impact?
Generative AI as a technology will run as a red thread through everything that happens in many industries, but also very much in the automotive industry. Let's take an example. If we talk about self-driving cars or self-driving technology, I don't want to go as far as robotaxis, but just general ADAS, helping a person drive, safety. I believe that what you see in the industry is a couple of years back, everyone was coding, or I think a bit more than a couple of years back, a lot of these systems were hand-coded software. Then AI came in, and we call that AV, let's say 1.0, where AI is doing a lot of the perception, is doing fusing a lot of things, and the AI technology made the self-driving software better than hand-coded software. And now what we're seeing is a transition to a large language model-based driving stack where these systems are becoming much more self-learning. And I think the next step in generative AI will be what people refer to as agentic AI, where there will be these large language models will be able to be fed information. They don't have to You don't have to manually feed it. They will be able to gather information themselves about things and decide how to train themselves. And this is, I think, is the next wave of generative AI. So I think in the space of AV, what you're going to see is a tremendous increase in cars' ability to drive themselves without having what we previously had to do in architecture, collect a lot of data. There's going to be a lot of more simulations, synthetic data. Ability to learn by itself more than ever before.
You mentioned AI simulation platforms for automotive production, and they can obviously help streamline processes and increase efficiency. Currently, many OEMs are focusing on cost cutting, though. Why is it still the right time to invest in AI applications like this?
There's always a balance in cost cutting and innovating, and you have to set yourself up for success in the future. Which means you need to invest in the right technologies. As a strategy, there is a tremendous focus on cost cutting, but there has to be a clear balance between where do you cut costs and where can you gain efficiencies by implementing certain technologies. As an industry, it's going to become more and more costly to create certain technologies from the ground up, like what we would call AV 2.0, which is a self-driving stack, which is generative AI based. It's going to be very difficult to create that, starting with a foundation model all the way to the actual application in-house. And so you're going to have to start leveraging what's existing in the market when it comes to foundation models. And that's a good example of where actually when you do that, you're going to be saving costs and you're going to be delivering better functionality and features to your drivers. So a better experience at the end of the day. Which would end up in, potentially software revenues or higher car margins. And so I think that making the right decisions on where to cut costs and where to invest is going to be crucial to succeed in this, in the transformation I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, absolutely crucial finding that balance. Phil, many OEMs are heavily investing in their own software divisions or systems. Talk us through the kind of collaboration models that NVIDIA is focusing on with automotive companies. Are they supplying only hardware and software and enabling them to master these technologies themselves? Or is it more about being an integrated partner that closely collaborates? How are you viewing this?
Yeah, at the core, I think we take pride in accelerating as much applications as we can in the world, in any industry. We're an accelerated computing company. We believe that our GPUs can accelerate software. And so the way we partner with the industry is that some partners choose to leverage pieces of our platform and develop pieces themselves. Some partners decide to take the entire platform and leverage the know-how we have in that regard. So we don't have a preferred model as such. We just want to make sure that partners that choose to use parts of our platform or our whole platform are doing so properly and get the most value out of using it. So that's our strategy, really. We want to make sure everyone understands what we're building and can use what we have, and that we can accelerate the stuff that they do on our platform.
That makes sense. So it's really about maximizing the value rather than saying there's one set model for a partnership.
That's right. That's
Okay.
right.
When starting to build up an AI platform, what timeline are we talking about until automakers could be able to reap the benefits?
Yeah, I guess the question is, what does it mean when starting to build an AI platform? If the question refers to when can the moment a automaker starts adopting an AI platform that is existing in the market, how long will it take them to reap the benefits? I think depends heavily on the use case, right? You see already chatbots are already all over the place. Everyone's already announced a certain kind of chatbot. And so I think the value to that is in a relatively short term will become visible. At the end of the day, there is, of course, an aspect of what data you use to train whatever it is that you're doing. And so how accessible and ready accessible is that data? But the answer is not, again, it's not a one shot. Like it really depends on the use case. In the car, it's going to take a bit longer. An enterprise generative AI use case will be much shorter time to market. I think that the bottom line is, and I think most companies are doing this, you have to get your hands on the technology. You have to get acquainted with the platform. If you don't have the know-how in-house, you have to get partners who can help you build that know-how. It's just realize that don't try to build platforms from scratch. There's a lot already out there.
That makes sense. It's annoying to say it depends, but it's probably accurate, and we take that. It's fair. Phil, you mentioned Earth 2.0. Is it Earth 2 or Earth 2.0?
We call it Earth 2 right now.
Okay, Earth 2. You mentioned it as a digital twin of the world that's capable of forecasting climate change in detail. While we were chatting, I was having a little peek in another browser. It looks very cool. Can you give us some more detail about how this could be implemented specifically in automotive? What are the benefits?
Okay, so first of all, I think Earth 2, from where it is today, it's focused around climate, and we're not really considering Earth 2 as, but I understand the connection. Fundamentally, it's no different than when you want to train robots in a digital twin of a factory. When you want to train vehicles or test and simulate vehicle behavior, you can do that in a digital twin of the world, and that is the concept. Now, I'm not saying today we're using Earth 2 for that. We are certainly using Omniverse to create synthetic data to create scenarios in which you can test vehicles and their driving behavior. So there's a parallel to that. I just don't want to connect Earth 2 to the simulation activities we have for driving, but there is, of course, an extrapolation to that where you could imagine the world becomes so detailedly rendered in detail that you could have have it as an environment to test anything thinkable, if it's such an accurate rendering of the actual physical world. So
yeah,
I get the connection, but I'm disconnecting the two for now.
I take your point. I take your point, but I can totally see a world where that is potentially helpful to OEMs who are thinking about, you know, braking systems on ice, understanding, well, how much ice is still left here. The use cases are imaginable, even if I totally understand that you don't want to say, well, listen, here's five really good ways to use it.
No, I don't want to say go use Earth to train your AV vehicles. That's a connection.
That's
I
not what
to.
It's for. No, yeah. I take your point.
Oh,
gosh, this has been such a fun talk, Phil. I could keep you for another half an hour, but I'm conscious of the time and of your busy schedule. Thank you so, so much for being our guest today, Phil Vandenberg. He's the Vice President for Automotive EMEA at NVIDIA. We appreciate your time and we appreciate your time, our audience. Be sure to tune in next month for our last episode of the year. I'll be talking to Albert Voss, the Managing Director and Partner at Boston Consulting Group, which is one of our IAA Mobility Club visionary partners. We'll be talking about the future of the European automotive industry. So any questions we didn't get to today, we'll put them to Albert next month. I'm Sarah Harmon. Thanks for being with us. See you next time.